Welcome to the Vertical Vision Podcast with Ernest Finklia. Here we use the Word of God to gain biblical perspectives and direction for daily life. You can contact us by email at verticalvision316@outlook.com. And now, here's Ernest.
Hey everybody, welcome to today's podcast. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about some things that the Bible tells us that we have in Christ, in our relationship with Him. And they're things that we probably are familiar with, but maybe we've just forgotten how important they are, or maybe we just don't really understand the magnitude and the power of these things in our lives. Some of us may not even know about these things. So the first thing that I want to delve into in this is the issue of forgiveness. You know, most of us, we know that we have forgiveness in Christ. Jesus forgives us of our sin. But I think a lot of times, I know for myself, I take for granted just how incredibly big that gift of forgiveness is and how desperately I need it. And I really believe that a lot of the reason for that is I just forget how much it cost Jesus. What I mean by that is this. I think we have a tendency to appreciate a gift once we understand, or I should say appreciate a gift more once we understand how much that gift costs somebody. And I'm not talking necessarily in monetary cost, but cost of effort or cost of thought, how much investment that person has made to give us a gift. And Jesus invested a lot for us in order to be able to give us the gift of forgiveness. Also, I think that in order to understand how costly and how incredible this gift of forgiveness is, we've got to understand what sin is. Because when we minimize sin, forgiveness isn't so important. So with that being said, sin is more than just doing something that God says is wrong or not doing something that God says is right. But sin is an offense or a crime against God. He's the lawgiver, and it's not just against what He says is right or what He says is wrong, but it's against His very nature, His very person. And see, a lot of people have this idea that they're going to be accepted by God because they're a good person. But they compare themselves to their neighbor or their coworker or maybe the criminal that's in prison, and they set their own standard of righteousness in order to be acceptable to God. But the standard for righteousness is God Himself. And none of us are good enough or perfect enough or righteous enough to be acceptable before God. This is why in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." See, the glory of God mentioned here is the word doxa in Greek, and it means praise or glory or approval. And sin, that word means to miss the mark or to be off target. And because of this, we're constantly missing the mark of God's approval because the target is God Himself. He's that standard of righteousness that we have to live up to. And because of that, we're never going to hit that mark. And because we're always falling short of God's standards of righteousness, we're never going to meet His standard and gain His approval. He's never going to go, "Yep, you hit the mark. You're just as good as I am. You're just as loving as I am. You're just as righteous as I am." It's just not going to happen. And because we have this sin, this missing the mark of his standard, he has to judge unrighteousness. He has to judge sin. And unfortunately, that judgment is death, physical death and spiritual death. Now, physical death is pretty self-explanatory. But what's this spiritual death that the Bible talks about? Well, Jesus brings this up in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And he's talking about the second death. He's talking about judgment and eternity in hell. And that's a term that a lot of people have a hard time with. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about judgment. But God is righteous. And because of that, he has to judge unrighteousness. And that's where hell comes in. Now, he doesn't want to judge us. That's the whole reason that he sent Jesus to die for our sins, to pay that penalty. And we'll get to that in a minute. But listen to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. He says, "But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters." Idolaters are people who put other things before God as their God. "And then all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now that is serious judgment. And this is why God's forgiveness is so incredible. But again, to appreciate this forgiveness and how awesome it is, we've got to understand the cost that God paid in order to forgive us, okay? Forgiveness isn't cheap. Forgiveness is free to us, but it cost God, it cost Jesus a lot, okay? Think of this. Over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the federal government forgiving student loans. And for the student, you know, students don't have really a whole lot of, you know, they're just scraping by in a lot of cases. And so to hear that somebody wants to forgive their student loans, that is exciting. That is great news because, I mean, those can be hundreds of thousands of dollars depending on what your course of study is. But the thing is that in order for that debt to be forgiven, somebody else has to pay the bill. And that's where this tension comes in, because if the student isn't going to pay their debt, that means either the loan company has to pay that debt, they have to absorb the loss, or taxpayers have to pay that debt. You can't just make it magically go away. The only way that debt's going to be paid is if somebody else pays it. And that carries over to our debt of sin before God, our crime of sin before God. I can't pay my debt to God because I'm never going to be as righteous as he is. And no other person on earth can pay my debt of sin, because they have their own guilt and their own debt of sin before God. So who's going to pay the bill? Who is going to pay for my crime so that God can forgive me and count me as being righteous before himself? Well, the only person that can do that is God himself. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says that God forgave us in Christ. Now, we know this, but John 3:16 is a popular and well-known passage because it's so important. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, would not be condemned, but have eternal life." The forgiveness comes because of what Jesus did on that cross. So Jesus, being perfect and holy and righteous, he took a body, all right? God came in the flesh to take a body and live the life that we live in the flesh so that he could be able to take our sin upon himself. All right? Jesus paid the bill for our sin with his own suffering and death on that cross. This is why when Jesus shouted from the cross, "It is finished," is such an important statement, because that statement, that declaration, literally means paid in full. Jesus cried out from that cross as he hung there dying in all the suffering and anguish that he faced. And he said, "I have paid the debt of humanity's sin in full." And this is why when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he could ask his heavenly Father to forgive the people who were crucifying him, because he was paying their debt right then and there. This is why Jesus could look at that thief that was hanging on a cross next to him, and when that thief cried out to him and said, "Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom," and Jesus was able to say to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," Jesus could guarantee that statement because he just paid the debt of that man's sin. That thief's sin, Jesus paid it all. So Paul continues this thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, "He made him," God made him, Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Okay? Get that. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to take our sin, to become sin on our behalf, for all of that sin, all of that guilt, all of that wrath, all of that judgment and punishment to come down upon Jesus, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Get this. Not just have the righteousness of God, but to become the righteousness of God in Christ. Because of this, we hit the mark. The standard of righteousness and holiness and acceptability is God himself. And he gives us his own righteousness because of what Jesus did on that cross. And I want you to consider this. When God forgives us, it is final, and he does not bring it up again. A lot of us carry the guilt and the shame of our own sin on ourselves, and we don't need to. We have a lot of remorse, a lot of shame for the things we've done, and that's understandable, okay? But that's not how God sees us when we come to him for forgiveness based upon what Jesus did on that cross. Jeremiah 31, 34, God says this, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Now, I used to really be confused with this, because if God knows everything, then how can God forget or not remember my sin anymore? When God says that he will remember our sin no more, it's a legal term, which means that that particular sin, that particular incident, has its case closed. It's no longer admissible in court as evidence against us. And this is such an incredible comfort. You know, I think all of us have had those times where we have a relationship with somebody and we do something and we've hurt their feelings. We've wronged them in some way, maybe intentionally or not. And, you know, we talk it out and they say, "Okay, I forgive you." And And it's all good, you know, it's water under the bridge. But then sometime down the road, something comes up and they bring that back and they throw that in our face and it hurts. You know, I thought this was water under the bridge, but obviously it's not. And I think we have a tendency, even on our own, to bring up the past and our previous sins before God too. And we have that shame and that guilt, and it hurts us when those things come to mind. And I can guarantee you this, that Satan is always bringing up our sin and pointing it out before the Lord and condemning us for the things that we've done in the past. But what a joy it is when we understand that God looks at that, and yes, he knows that sin's there. He knows what we've done. But because of what Jesus did on that cross, because he paid for that sin, that sin is now a closed case. It is no longer admissible in court. And so we can't bring it up. Satan can't bring it up. Other people can't bring it up because God says, I've paid for that. We're not going there. And we have a beautiful, fresh slate before God. And so with this, we have this encouragement that, you know, when we're tempted, or even when we do sin, we have this inclination to want to kind of pull away from God because of our shame and our guilt. And again, Satan is always there saying, you really can't believe that God wants to hear from you. You asked for forgiveness for that sin yesterday, and you asked for that sin, forgiveness for that sin the day before. And here you're going to go to God again? And we start to pull away, where the book of Hebrews tells us, no, when we're tempted and we're going through things, we can go before the throne of grace to find help and obtain mercy in time of need. Why? Because Jesus is our high priest and Jesus is our sacrifice, and he is standing before God as our intercessor, always speaking on our behalf, saying, it's covered. It's covered. I've paid the debt. And so maybe you are really wrestling with sin, your guilt, your shame. You know what? You don't have to carry that weight, because Jesus paid that debt on the cross 2,000 years ago. And maybe you're facing accusations from Satan. He's trying to drive a wedge between you and God, telling you that God doesn't love you anymore because you keep struggling with this sin, you keep falling and failing, and that God doesn't want to hear your I'm sorry anymore. God doesn't want to hear please forgive me anymore. That's not true. I want you to be encouraged in that no matter what you've done, Jesus has covered that completely by his blood on the cross. He was able to forgive the people who were crucifying him. He was able to forgive the thief that was hanging on a cross next to him. He was able to forgive Paul, who was hunting down Christians and bringing them to prison and to be tortured and even executed because of their faith in Christ. Jesus's payment for our sins is full. He said, paid in full, as he hung on that cross. So go to Jesus and ask him, based upon what he has done, to forgive you of your sin. Lay that sin at the feet of Christ. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Ask him to help you not to do that, but to live in righteousness before him. And the Lord Jesus will remove that sin from you. He will lock it away. He will cast it, as it says, I believe it's in the Psalms. He will remove it from you as far as the east is from the west. If you go in a straight line, east and west will never meet. And that's how far God has removed our sin from us. So don't carry the guilt and the shame, but carry the joy and the blessing of being forgiven and made righteous before God. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, live in righteousness before God. God bless you and keep holding to Jesus.
We would like to thank you for joining us for this episode of the Vertical Vision Podcast. Feel free to reach out to us with any questions or comments at verticalvision316@outlook.com. Stay tuned for more episodes.